And faith brings understanding as we trust the word of God. What does it help us with? It helps us with things like creation. I mean, the world, we come to understand the world didn't exist in the past. It didn't come into existence by itself. It had a creator. That creator is God. He's the maker of all things, the source of all things. So he has to be God. And he made the world with incredible precision and expression of his own perfection. He made the world by his word, his essential wisdom, his eternal son, and his active will. God said and God spoke and it was done. Yeah, Hebrews is a beautiful book. Brent and I were talking about it this week as I told him we were going to be going into chapter 11 this morning. And, you know, the letter is written to a group of believers who were Jewish believers in Jesus. They'd given their hearts to Jesus and were serving him, but they faced and lived in a time of persecution and in trouble. It was like hard to live for Jesus. And there was this temptation in them to depart. You know, let's go back to our Jewish brothers. Let's go back to the synagogue. Let's go back to, you know, our community. We'll hold on to Jesus, but we'll kind of assimilate back into life there, this temptation to depart. And the book of Hebrews walks us through just doctrines on the supremacy of Jesus. It's so awesome. Jesus is greater than everything. The patriarchs, the angels, the high priest, all of these different things. And for this church facing trials and persecution, there is exhortation to stay in Jesus. And the first 10 chapters of Hebrews takes us through these doctrines. And then it comes to chapter 11 and says, now let's talk about some heroes of the faith. Those who have trusted in the promises of God. Those who have stood during times of trouble, they've persevered, they've endured in the Lord and through suffering. And Hebrews 11 provides us with evidence and examples of men and women who lived in the past and had the characteristics that we know are just part of faith. They had courage, they had perseverance, they had an endurance. And this chapter has been called the Heroes Hall of Faith. So, yeah, you know, the heroes of the faith enabled them to do certain things. Like, faith enabled them to have courage to perform difficult tasks. Like, you think about Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises of God was actually in the act of offering his only son, the scripture says. And he considered that God was able to raise him up from the dead. And figuratively, he received Isaac back from the dead. God stayed his hand and said to him, I will provide myself a sacrifice. Faith enabled the people that we read about to endure severe trials. Like, you know, for example, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known of the house of Pharaoh, and he chose to identify with the people of God, to be mistreated with them, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered, the book of Hebrews tells us, he considered reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt because he was looking forward to his reward. Sarah, I think about her. She's a woman who obtained blessing from God by faith. By faith, you know, she received power when she was barren to conceive, even when she was past the age of childbearing. And so this morning, maybe in this first message, we're just going to dip our toe, so to speak, into Hebrews chapter 11 with these first three verses. I want to talk about the effects, the consequences of faith, because faith produces certain results. Faith has consequences in the life of the believer that leads to action. Verse 1, it would be on our screen if that was working. But verse 1 says this, that faith makes things that are not yet hoped for present in the life of a believer. Verse 2 tells us that faith makes us commendable or pleasing to God. Verse 3 tells us that faith makes us understand things that a carnal man cannot understand, which is amazing. And the purpose of Hebrews 11 is to show us what faith is and what faith does. And you know, when you talk about faith, there's plenty of misconceptions about faith. There's lots of wrong teachings about it. A young student was asked by his teacher, what is faith? Or sorry, the teacher asked the student, what is faith? And the student said, It's believing what you know isn't true. Which is not the case, but that's what the world thinks believers do. Don't they think that about us? That we believe that many of us have been brainwashed into believing things that we know aren't true. They separate faith from reason. Separate faith from logic or rationale. There we go. Okay, I'm in control here. Sweet. Then there are those who teach unbiblical concepts of faith that present it as a feeling or some means of positive thinking and positive confession, where faith is presented as believing with this strength that's in yourself to have faith. And what I want to just remind you this morning is that faith is not positive thinking. Faith is not about positive confession. It's not that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Faith is not something that we conjure up within ourselves. Faith is about trust in the Lord. Trust in something that is actually not in ourselves, but outside of ourselves, more specifically, in someone outside of ourselves. Faith's about trusting God. It's about what you put your trust in. And the power of faith is the object in which it's placed. The strength of faith is not in feeling. The power of faith is the object. It's not about how much you have, but the object in which you place your faith. And faith has some characteristics: courage, perseverance, endurance. And this is important because faith can preserve your soul and will motivate steadfastness in Christ when you face all sorts of trouble, all sorts of sufferings, all sorts of trials. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is about. Now again, verse 1 says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. Where are we there? How come this isn't lining up, Brent? I don't know. That's okay. Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so the text tells us it's substance, it's evidence. Sometimes, probably often, this verse, Hebrews 11, verse 1, is used as a definition of faith. I don't want to do that this morning. It might be better to say that it's a description of faith. It's like if I took a tool, say, for example, a skill saw, I could define for you a skill saw. I could describe it, explain how it operates, explain what it could produce. And describing what it actually does would be more helpful in understanding the skill saw than just giving you a definition. So if you want a definition for faith, we could say something as simple as what's going to be on the screen next. Faith is believing in the testimony of God. God said something, I believe it, I'm going to act on it. That's faith. And Hebrews 11, 1 is not so much giving us a definition of faith as it is a description of how faith operates in our life and what it produces, like we would describe a tool. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. I love this. The Greek word for substance that's translated substance is hypostasis. It's in different translations in the English, we get different words like assurance or substance. And the idea of hypostasis is that it does this. It produces something in you. It produces confidence. It's like understanding that there's a substructure underneath your feet. And there is a double force in this understanding, because understanding there's something under my feet produces a confidence within me. This is what faith does. It actually produces confidence in the Lord, in the promises of God. Substance that produces confident assurance. Faith is not cold, rational intellect about things of God. Faith actually imparts power and life to the one who trusts in the Lord, who believes the testimony of God. And in that sense, faith unites your heart with the object in which you trust, Christ, His word. Because I believe the testimony of God about Himself, I trust in Christ, or because I believe in the testimony of the promise of eternal life that I'm going to spend eternity with Christ, because I want to be there with Him, I put my trust in Him, and it produces confidence in my heart. And the amazing thing is I actually don't even need to see Jesus to trust Him. I trust His promise. My heart is united with him while I wait till the day on which I behold him. I can praise him. You can praise him. This morning we worship him with the hope that one day we'll see him. One day we'll be in heaven with him. Faith makes us praise God for future blessings that are going to be ours in Christ. Amen? You know, we used to joke when I was growing up in my house, my mom would come up and say, your money or your life. And she taught us to say, take my life, I need my money. The truth is, you can't take my life. It's hidden in Christ. You can't take it. That sort of thinking is the heart and attitude that is to be a believer. That's faith. That's how a believer is to believe, by faith. Future reality or blessing as if it's already been received, because it has. Now, how does this happen in the life of a believer? How does faith bring the future into the present so that I can live by faith? This was important. This is what the heroes of the faith figured out. How does faith bring the subsistent provisions of God into my life? Well, it does this. It draws from the promises of God. This is why your 2-7 discipleship is so important. Have you been a part of the 2-7 discipleship? I would encourage you. It teaches you to draw on the promises of God. That's what a disciple does. It makes the promises of God, but faith makes the promises of God the food for the soul. That's what great men and women of God learn to do. They nourish themselves on the word of God and they believe the word of God. When we nourish ourselves on God's word, the truth of God's word assimilates into our lives like spiritual calories, and it's powerful in what it produces. We believe the word of God, and the heart is actually changed and transformed into the image of Christ. And so, like, let me ask you this, just maybe as an application question this morning. How has your life been affected by the things that you claim to believe regarding Jesus? Faith produces action. It takes action. And I love this, not works. Not works, action. We're not trying to get God's merit. We have that. Christ has already brought us into the presence of God, into his favor, into his good books. I don't need to earn anything, but I'm going to take action based on God's blessing. Faith produces action. Like, do you have hope and then actually fear tomorrow? That shouldn't be the case for a believer. Do I call God my provider and then I'm unwilling to surrender to him the things that he has given me? Faith works to align my heart with the promises of God so that future reality is brought into the presence. And so faith is substance or assurance of things hoped for. And faith is evidence of things not seen. Some translations use the word conviction, which is also helpful. It's like evidence that produces conviction. Evidence is demonstrated by being convinced. Does this, it demonstrates so that your heart would be convinced. And so with our hand, you know, we lay hold of the promise of God. And with my eye, I look to God to fulfill his promises. This is what Jesus taught his disciples to do. He said, if you're truly my disciples, you will hold to my teaching and the truth will set you free. Now, when we can, you know, just consider someone who doesn't believe the word of God for an unbeliever, I would just say it's like, this book seems unreal. It appears contradictory. Oh, it's a fairy tale. It's old wives' tales. It's old historical things that, you know, you're just wasting your time. For them, spiritual future things are impossible to comprehend. The things a Christian believes appears foolish to them because the things that we believe are discerned spiritually by faith. The natural man, the carnal man, he doesn't live by the Spirit. The natural man actually gives preference to his five senses: sight, hearing, eyes, taste, touch, smell. The natural man gives preference to his own knowledge, to science. Trust the science. When you share eternal things with that kind of person, it's met with objections, isn't it? No one, I would say, could be argued into the kingdom. It's good to be informed and to have good apologetics so that you can discuss intellectual obstacles to the faith, to Jesus, to believing in Christ. But no one's ever argued into the kingdom. We know this, right? It takes the power of God, the Spirit of God, to work upon a heart to reveal Christ to that person. No one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work and that man or woman is born again, born of the Spirit, their heart is renewed, the mind of the flesh is overcome by the life of the Spirit, and the power of unbelief is broken. Aren't you thankful that the Holy Spirit did that for you? Faith in Christ was conceived and birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. That person is changed. All of a sudden, their intellectual arguments begin to melt to the reality of faith in Christ. Now they begin to say, well, God said it, it must be true. Well, God said it, it must be true. Faith convinces your understanding to believe things that God has spoken. You know, the unbeliever, to them, things that God has spoken in His Word just seem unreal. But faith gives evidence, conviction, and reality to things hoped for, that heaven is not some distant thing. The reality of heaven is working in our lives today, that hope. Forgiveness is not some pipe dream. No, Christ has washed away our sins. Our conscience has been cleansed. Salvation is not some wishful concept. It is a present reality in our lives. By faith, we're trusting in Jesus. A.W. Pink says this: faith shuts its eyes to all that is seen and opens its ears to all that God has said. He says, faith is a convictive power which overcomes carnal reasonings, carnal prejudices, and carnal excuses. It enlightens the judgment, molds the heart, moves the will, reforms the life. It takes us off of earthly and worldly vanities and occupies us with spiritual and divine realities. It emboldens us against discouragement, laughs at difficulties, resists the devil, triumphs over temptations. It does so because it unites the soul of God and draws strength from Him. Thus, faith is altogether a supernatural thing. So faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says this: for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. It's by faith that God approves us. By faith, men and women of old were counted righteous. By faith, the man Abraham was called righteous. Men and women of old, they were not approved for their faith. They were approved by faith, the scripture says. And faith, again, it's not works. It's not merit, but it's necessary. And faith takes action. And Hebrews 11, again, is amazing because as you go into this chapter, it just tells all of these heroes who were not saved by their merits. They were not saved by what they did. They were not saved by keeping the law. They were saved by the same promises you and I are saved by. They put their faith in the Lord Jesus. And the application I would just say is this for us. Value what God values. Someone said this to me yesterday at the education thing. I said, I'm going to say that very thing tomorrow. The economy of God's kingdom is faith. We've been on a faith journey. Your church is on faith journey. It's like, I praise God for what He's doing in education. You know, the Lord's led us. We're working by the grace of God to establish a Bible college on the Sunshine Coast. And I'm like, all these things just keep happening by faith. Pastor Ed Hickey from Abbotsford was texting me this morning with pictures about the work of the Paul Initiative Ministry and God's blessing that. It's like, it's happening by faith. God's just bringing blessing like He's done here in Riverside, and we praise God for that. The economy of the kingdom of God is faith. It's not gold or silver. We're all watching those gold and silver prices these days, okay? The economy of the kingdom is not intellect. It's not science. It's not works. It's not, thankfully, good looks or your height or anything like that, right, Brent? It's not, you know, it's not charming, smooth personalities. Faith is the economy of the kingdom, and it's evidenced by a godly and obedient life. That's what the text is telling us. And it's by faith that God approves us when we put faith in his Son and in his Word. Verse 3 says this again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which were seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, this is amazing to me. The key verse and the key word for me is that word understand. By faith, we understand, it says. It's amazing. Our comprehension is the fruit of our trust. By faith, we understand. By faith, we're able to comprehend things that a natural man cannot understand. A carnal man cannot comprehend. They're beyond human reason. They are revealed to us by faith. For one, the writer says, we understand the origin of the universe. It's like, I mean, people are trying to figure this out. It's like, we know what happened. We know what happened. We actually comprehend that in the beginning, God said, and it was so. The origin of the universe and the origin of life on earth presents all sorts of problems for, you know, people who claim to be experts in these areas. It's a problem for the natural man. It's a problem for the carnal man and the scientific community that does their work on that basis. And you know, like as believers, it's not like we have all the minutiae of creation explained to us, but we have enough. The difficulty of understanding where the universe came from and what is the source of life vanishes before faith. We know it's God. By faith, we understand. Think about John chapter 11. When Jesus is making his way towards Bethany where his dear friend Lazarus has passed away, and Martha comes out and meets him. And it says this in John chapter 11, verse 21. And Martha said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And you know what happened. The Lord Jesus called Lazarus out of that grave and out he came. And Jesus said to Martha, he said to her in chapter 11, verse 40, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? He was teaching her a lesson. Faith comes first. Sight, understanding comes afterward. Faith brings understanding. Faith brings comprehension. Martha believed and she saw the glory of God. She saw what Jesus did. I always think it's just such a tragedy when someone says, I won't believe unless I see. I'm like, wow, you'll never see unless you believe. And the world may think Christians are fools. The world might think that we are not the smartest people on the block or whatever it is. But listen, in truth, Christians are the wisest people on earth. Not because of something inherent in us, but because whom we've trusted in and the understanding that the Spirit of God has imparted to us. Think about that. Christians are actually the wisest people on earth, not because of inherent intellect. I don't want to make any comments about your pastor, okay? But because faith brings understanding. You know, I was thinking about that with regards to counseling or something. It's like, oh, you want counseling with regards to a family issue, a marriage issue, a parenting issue? It's like, where are you going to go? You got to go to a believer. You don't have a choice. It's like they just have wisdom. They have the Spirit of God. They have life, experience, and the faithfulness of Jesus. And they're going to be able to share wisdom and understanding that the non-believer just can't share. You know, after his resurrection, when Jesus met two men on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, he came up alongside him, beside them, and they were kept from recognizing him. He began to walk with them, and he asked them what they were discussing. They said, we've been talking about everything that's happened in Jerusalem over the last 3 days. He's like, oh yeah, what happened? They said, have you been living, you know, under a rock? He said, no, I just spent a few days behind one. They told him about the crucifixion, about the rumors of the resurrection and the hope that Jesus had been the Messiah. They went on, and finally Jesus interrupted them. He said, "O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Look, I want to encourage you this morning. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith in him, you are no fool. You are no fool. You are counted amongst the wise of the earth, the heroes of the faith, because we've placed our trust in Jesus. And faith brings understanding as we trust the word of God. What does it help us with? It helps us with things like creation. I mean, the world, we come to understand the world didn't exist in the past. It didn't come into existence by itself. It had a creator. That creator is God. He's the maker of all things, the source of all things. So he has to be God. And he made the world with incredible precision and expression of his own perfection. He made the world by his word, his essential wisdom, his eternal son, and his active will. God said and God spoke and it was done. God spoke. And faith helps us understand that God could do that without working with pre-existing material for creation. It was nothing but his creative power. He spoke and it was done. He calls things that are not as though they were, just like he called Lazarus out of the grave or called you to salvation. And these are things that we understand by faith. They're not difficult for a believer because we believe by faith in the word of God. We understand that the world came into existence. We understand who Jesus is, the essential and personal word of God who became flesh, the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The written word. In the original language in let me read verse 3 again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In the original language, that word in that verse, word of God, is not referring to the logos of God, the written word. It refers to the rhema of God, the living word, the spoken word. It means that the universe was not created by a written word. It was created by a spoken word. Not written down, but something audible. Sound came forth from the Creator, and God said, and there was a manifestation of his powerful will. And let me tell you something to encourage you this morning. Jesus said, "The hour is coming when the dead shall hear his voice." That's the rhema word of God, not the logos. "For the hour is coming when those who are in their tomb shall hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." That is the rhema word of God, that all the tombs will hear his voice. You know, in John chapter 11, it was very important that Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out of the grave." You know that, right? Because if he just said, "Come out," he would have emptied every tomb on the face of the earth. That day's coming. Amen. That's why we know. God said, "Let there be light." And guess what there was? Light. And so the first three verses of Hebrews 11 share with us the description of faith so that we would have a biblical understanding and an ability to participate with the Lord by faith. Faith is described as substance, assurance. The substance that gives you an assurance. It's the substructure under your feet that makes you confident. Faith is described as evidence. It provides us with conviction, evidence that leads to conviction. Faith is firm ground under our feet that gives us confidence and security. Faith commends us to God like men and women of old. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith brings understanding so that we can live wisely in this evil generation. You who have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are no fools. You are the wise men and women of God, the heroes of faith. You know, think about faith. When you speak about faith, it's like you almost sound, maybe I sound this way this morning, dogmatic. But it's not dogmatism. It's just confidence. We're sure in the Lord, and so we speak. Not sure in ourselves, but sure in the work of Christ. And so this morning, let me just encourage you, as you place your faith in Jesus, it's not simply about what God has done, it's about what God is going to do. That's what faith is about. Faith is about what and who you put your trust in, and faith unlocks the Christian life. It is the economy of God's kingdom, and by it, he is pleased. It's not a wish. It's not a feeling. Faith is an anchor. It's a hope. Faith is not contrary to reason or logic or rationale, but it goes much further than those things, and it trusts the promises of God. And so therefore, you know, I just encourage you, when it comes to your faith, speak dogmatically. Not because you're dogmatic, but because you're confident. State what you're sure of. I have put my faith in Jesus and in his word. And so this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And just like in closing, I want to remind you, Pastor Stewart's going to come in a moment, that faith takes action. And today we've got a great way to take action by faith. That's to participate in the Lord's Supper, to identify our lives with the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, to take the bread, which represents his body, to take the cup, which represents his blood, and say, Jesus, by faith, I come and partake of these things, and I identify my life with your life. I pray that by faith you would cleanse me of my sin, that you would wash me clean, that you would impart to me spiritual, eternal, abundant life. And let me tell you, he will do that very thing. He will do that very thing. Faith takes action.